Welcome back to the Land of Magic. Reach out! And our after show will begin. It's the Little Witch Academia after show on AfterBuzz TV, and it starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Magic Missile! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Little Witch Academia after show right here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica, and you can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Let's talk. I mean, is it? First of all, it's weird that this show is about students that are in groups of three.
We're a group of three.
Hey, how about that?
Stacy, yes. You're part of this group of three.
I am part of this group of three. And if you want to get in touch with me online, you can find me at Stacy Shuttles on Twitter and Instagram or across the web at Nerds Doing Stuff.
Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet him in the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
We are back for episodes 3 and 4. We just did episodes 1 and 2 earlier. So that means you watched all 4 together.
I did.
Like a cheat. And
she had knowledge we didn't
have. Ouch. Yeah. Ouch.
You went into the first episode with some future knowledge.
Hey, I didn't drop anything that was giving away too much, did I? No, it didn't.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch the after show, and so should you. But Stacey and I watched the episodes here in the studio, and we just did a show, which you should go watch on the Popcorn Talk Network, called Inventory Full. But we're going to get right into episodes 3 and 4. This was the first time that I have heard the English voices of Little Witch Academia, and without saying too much, I want to go back to watching Japanese, just because those are the voices that have been ingrained as these characters, so it was weird hearing, like, pretenders to these people. No, it was weird! It's really weird!
I do.
Posers. No, here's the thing, and this is something that comes up commonly when it comes to subs versus dubs. Usually whatever a person hears first is what they kind of refer to as their default. I listened in English first, so I'm going to continue watching in English.
Okay.
But for a lot of series where I saw the Japanese first, the Japanese is my default. It's kind of a first come, first serve basis, whichever I get to first.
The Toonami ones especially, I would say.
Oh, yeah. I definitely view those as English default just because those are what I grew up with.
That's how you started. That's what you know.
Even if the cast isn't the best, I'm like, nope, that's how those characters sound.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Goku. Still can't get over their Japanese voice actor. Anyway, let's talk about episode 3. Don't stop me now.
We're having such a good time.
We're having a ball. Or a magic missile, if you will. That wasn't a ball of paper. That was magic. So, we start with Ursula finally being able to introduce herself to Akko, and nothing comes of it.
I mean, Akko's barely paying attention.
No. It's like, why get a broom? Yeah! It's Akko continuing to be just the happiest cinnamon bun. What did you like most about this scene?
I mean, I like kind of the irony of it, because here she is,
yes,
getting this, like, really deep wisdom from who, I mean, I think we all know is Shiny Chariot herself, and she's just not listening, just bouncing around, like...
No, this is dramatic irony at its best, for sure, because this is, like, this should be a pivotal moment in her life, and to her it is, because it's the moment where she gets her first broom, but, like, there's so much more to it than that, and she's completely unaware of, like, the actual significance of receiving this broom from Ursula. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if I ever want her to find out the truth. Like,
that's funnier for us that way.
Like, I don't know if it would be better for her as a person to not know that it's her idol that's kind of guiding her in this way.
And especially with stuff that we learn about in episode 4 and how she sort of grows up dealing with idols. We'll talk about that when we get there. But I like how Akko was still just like, you know what? I'm going to have this broom, but once I find her, she's going to get it back. And Ursula was like, you know, you should probably keep it. Why don't you just keep it?
Oh,
hang on to that.
So sweet.
Hang on to that.
And here,
the
and
torch
hearing,
has been passed.
But then also hearing her old mantra of believing in myself is my magic. It's like, How about that? It's a nice forlorn wanton thing.
It's so interesting, again, because we see somebody who's so young and optimistic about their future and about these words of wisdom that she has basically ingrained into her life and her worldview versus the person who bequeathed that knowledge, who has clearly been beaten down by life and maybe doesn't believe in herself anymore. And it's just like, oh...
No. That's real sad. Mm-hmm. What do y'all feel about Akko revealing that she practiced flying a broom? Like, even not having any magic. Yeah.
Her, like, showing off all her bruises. Like, she's so proud.
Well, I got this car for falling off of a tree, and I jumped off my roof, and I got this one back here.
Oh, silly girl.
It's just like, it was in this episode where Susie was like, I think we're both on the same page. She's an idiot, right? Right? Can't fly without magic, dum-dum. No, guys, I'm going to do it. I promise. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try and fly. I'm going to try and I'm going to do it. I went through many brooms.
She is a force of nature, so if anyone was going to do it.
Yeah. You know what we're not seeing? We're not seeing the panicked looks of her parents throughout this entire childhood montage of failing to fly.
Are we going to get a parent-teacher night?
Oh!
At some point in the season, we can finally meet Akko's parents, and they're just covered in bruises and bandages, like, raising this child.
It's taken years off of our lives.
But I would only... and they talk about Chariot in a completely different way of like...
She's the one that ruined her.
If we ever meet this woman, I swear to all that is good. And Ursa's like...
Definitely not her, not me, no.
Oh, yeah. What a terrible person.
She's awful.
Now, wouldn't it be a nice twist if, like, actually her parents were ridiculously supportive?
With how Akko turned out, I can imagine that.
They have to have some of that enthusiasm.
They go, we want a little girl to be anything she wants to be. Yep.
She wants to be a witch.
Yeah. Thomas, we don't know exactly how to do that. Or no, what's another cartoon pun that her parents can be?
Tex. We already got Avery.
Could you imagine if they were James and James and Lily?
Ooh.
It's just like, wait a minute.
Or
Jim and Lilith. It's not.
We're doing anyway. the subtle.
I kind of like Chuck for Chuck now, Jones.
For the mom. But something that I was super stoked about, and we talked about it at the last episode, was when are we going to see the Enchanted Parade team finally start to show up? And it was in this episode! So happy that it was so quick. We got reintroduced to Amanda. She's a hotshot flyer, taking all sorts of chances, doing all these stunts.
Love her hair.
Right. How does she do it?
Right.
I don't know.
Like, blonde, but red.
It's magic.
Nailed it. We got Hannah and Barbara are just the worst, but I like how within these couple of episodes we're learning. Even though they're the bad guys, we're still learning more about them, and like, we can sympathize and empathize with them, too.
At the end of the day, they're kids. Mm-hmm. They're kids, right, who have their own, like, things that they get obsessed with, and... I feel like we can assume that at the end of the day, they just get carried away with being a little bit too mean-spirited. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're really bad guys.
Right.
Or are they?
Oh! No. Plot twist!
I don't know, we're gonna find... they end up putting training wheels on Akko's broom. We find out that
jerks.
We find out that there is a relay race coming up, and... the only reason why Akko wants to enter it is she sees the Chariot won, so I'm going to win, and my picture is going to be on the wall right next to her.
Well,
some way to get motivated, I guess.
About that.
About that, you still can't fly.
Can't do it.
There's a big problem.
So we find out Lotte takes Akko to the Magic Item Cafe, finds out about this legendary broom, the Shooting Star, which is... You see in the pictures, it's just beautiful, but it's reckless.
Loose cannon.
You're off the force. One more bad flight, and you're off the force. To which one of the differences between the English and the Japanese dub was we saw on the subtitles was, I would really like to borrow it. To which the English dub was, dibs. All right, some of the cultural differences work out for me. But the shopkeeper ends up saying, there is nobody alive who can control that broom. That's not foreshadowing. Anyway, Amanda ends up being at the store, overhears them. There's some trickness afoot. Ursula ends up getting Akko baby's first broom. It's like, I know.
So cute.
It's a kid's book. I know. I'm sorry. It's like probably plastic pages and everything. But she's like, oh my God, you're the coolest. I love you.
Which is so great about Akko, though. I mean,
she's not insulted by it. She's like, yes. If anything, like, she's more frustrated when even that doesn't help out.
We pointed out in the last episode, or with the help from a miraculous Corazon, pointed out that some of our various characters from various countries, and is pointing out Amanda from the United States of America, and I can pretty much guess the other two when we get to them, just by their names, but... there is one in here. Miraculous Corazon says again, Ursula is best witch mom. which I can understand.
I love her.
So we find out that Akko registers all of the girls as a team already, and the last thing that Susie wants to do until she finds out that is it Lukic? So that Lukic, the potions teacher that is like OG classic witch, her future boss, is going to be giving out a prize for the winner. So that gets her in, but a little bit too seriously by pushing Akko off of a ledge.
Super motivated.
Firing her out of a cannon.
I think the main takeaway from this episode is that Susie is terrifying.
Especially
when she is motivated.
One of my notes in this when we get to the relay was, Susie, you devil. Because she ends up planting all of the other girls' brooms into the starting line so that she gets an immediate advantage.
Question. This is allowed? Like, I feel like immediately the official should have been like, well, that team's disqualified.
Right? And everyone's just like, oh, it's fine.
Or do they, like, admire trickery and tomfoolery as long as magic is the baseline?
It almost seems like, I mean, because also later when Akko, you know, put the hopping spell on her broom.
Yeah, like, that doesn't, cool that doesn't get them, like, red carded, but, like, actually trying to physically attack another player does. Mm-hmm. So what are the rules of this race?
It seems... Oh, no. It seems like the rules are, if you're on a broom, you're good.
Yeah. She didn't get red carded for attacking her, though. That's what we thought at first.
Oh, what was it?
It was
then?
Because she had a donut instead of Amanda, the ring.
Right,
yeah,
that's
Amanda
right.
Had the...
So this really is a no-holds-barred thing.
Yeah, because it looked like she was going after her because she was trying to attack her. But then, like, they held up the donut.
They're like, oh, it's because you didn't actually get the right ring. This is a free-for-all, anything goes.
They could have been,
like, straight up firing spells at one another through the air, it would have been okay.
Nobody was around to do so, though.
No.
Because they were all in the back.
Well, could you imagine what was going to happen during this race if they had all gotten a fair start?
The equivalent of, like, a blue shell or something like that.
Oh, God.
We meet the other two members. I'm just going to call them Parade Squad. We meet Constance, who is a technological Wunderkind. Presuming she's
I
from
love her steampunk.
She's German.
I love
would presume.
Her steampunk broom. It made it's me so great. Happy.
And Yasmika, who is she in Enchanted Parade? She didn't speak either, and I'm fine with that. She just seems like the quiet powerhouse. And I don't know what it is about big characters, but they always usually have pink hair. I don't know why. Zarya, for one. And there's a character in Bleach, like, near the end that was a big dude with pink hair. Regardless. But speaking of cheating, sends her off course by just having a series of donuts.
She thought of everything.
Yeah.
Like, did she have...
I feel like she hasn't been... Like, when she applies herself, it is downright terrifying.
Oh, I mean...
She could rule this school if she cared at all.
No one would even try to oppose her.
No.
We've got a couple people in chat who are talking about how they haven't seen the show yet. Go watch the show. It's all on Netflix. We're watching it every two episodes, and then we're going to do an after show. So today we're doing episodes 3 and 4. But watch along with us. Go watch episodes 1 and 2. Watch our first show from earlier today. Then watch 3 and 4, and come back and watch this episode. But it's a lot of fun, and there's only a couple of plot things here or there. It's just a lot of fun antics, and it's just nice. But just for the sake of time, going to bolt through. Amanda, it reveals that she stole the shooting star, but it ends up getting used by Akko, even ties herself around it with the chain, going, "I'm not letting go of you."
I love that animation sequence.
Yeah, oh, that was really good.
Just the flipping herself onto the broom and the chains wrapping around her and going, "No, I'm not letting go." Fantastic.
It looks like it flies her around the world.
Yeah.
Just by from all of the different vistas that we see.
Yeah, we cover quite a lot of ground.
Kicks her off, ends up being saved by Diana, who, quote, repays her debt.
And Akka's like, "What'd you owe me for?"
The tree thing, you big dumbo.
Akko not keeping
time. But something that I found interesting was she brings back the cannon, throws it forward, catches up with it, loads herself in, but uses a spell to light it. So she still has some sort of... She's learned something within the past couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. Fires her back on. It's neck and neck. We found out that Amanda got disqualified because she didn't have the bangle. It was a donut. Whoops. But Diana ends up winning. But Akko sees the broom finally break free of its chain and its restraints and fly free. And it's pretty!
It's beautiful!
Every episode ends with something pretty just flying away.
Yep.
It's so nice. And Ursula and Diana have a wonderful conversation at the end where they kind of agree on Akko's passion and mm-hmm. she's still got a lot to learn.
Yeah, and let's be honest, for somebody who doesn't know how to fly, the fact that their team came in second, even if it was kind of dubious methods.
Very dubious. Very
dubious. Like, it's super impressive that, like, her passion and the combination of passion and ingenuity got her second place when really she can't even get herself off the ground. That's incredible.
Any other thoughts about episode 3 before we move on to episode 4?
Just that I love race episodes and seeing so many of the girls on brooms, I'm like, it made me think of Kiki's Delivery Service.
Aww. Anything from you, Stace?
No, I like that we're still getting a little bit more from Diana, and I know we don't know anything concretely yet, but this still gave us a few more ideas about how her life works, especially mm-hmm. with the repaying the debt.
How do we think she would react if she knew that Ursula was Shiny Chariot?
I think if there's anybody that's going to find out first, it's going to be her, and she's mm-hmm. going to freak out. Oh. I think she's going to... Yeah. She's going to do the same sort of freaking out.
But we'll agree to keep it on the DL.
Yeah, but she'll have the head to kind of move on from there.
I'm really glad
that will be an initial.
I'm really glad Hannah and Barbara weren't here to see me freak out like that. But that's okay. They're going to freak out further. Before we get to episode 4, I just wanted to mention really quick about iTunes. We are on the cusp of being on iTunes, so make sure if you're listening to this, or if you're listening to this on iTunes, that means, hey, we're here. Please leave us a review. Please leave us a comment. It lets the folks here that run AfterBuzz know that anime content is something that the listeners want, and we've been getting a lot of requests for various anime, and there's some that are in the middle of their run, some that are a couple seasons in, that'll be a little bit harder to do, but by showing that the fans are responding to this, it'll let them know that maybe we should keep an eye out for more anime shows to do. So please leave us a comment on iTunes, leave us a comment down below on YouTube, follow us on Twitter. I forgot to use the hashtag. We're using hashtag ABTVLWA. Super simple, super to the point. So if you want to tweet us at all throughout the week, no spoilers for the love of goodness. We are going episode by episode, or every two episodes. So after we get done with these, I'm going to watch episodes 5 and 6. And we'll be more than likely back next Monday to talk about episodes 5 and 6 and maybe a little bit more depending on our schedule. So moving on to episode 4, Nightfall. It came true!
Yes!
It happened!
You have an eagle eye, my friend.
That was a good catch.
Is it the fact that... Is it good or bad that I know the Twilight logo?
No, I feel like...
And the little twirly thing on the...
I feel like it speaks more as to how much that book series has personally affected you. It, like, to the point where you can recognize it immediately, even when it's just a little Easter egg. I feel like... I feel like... Did Twilight hurt you, Mark?
It was. I would always get prank calls at GameStop for people looking for the Twilight game, which little did they know, there was a Twilight game. It was seen it, but it was still one of those things that I would have to look up and queue up and look. It would be right there on the wall, just burning a hole in my head. But regardless, like, no. The closest relationship that I have with Twilight was watching the Riff Tracks one night. That's a lot of fun, and I highly recommend that because it makes the movies watchable. But with this... The fact that Lotte has the fact that it's an owl messaging system
so
is
cute.
Adorable. She has a pen pal. Big Ben 10 was the was it in the subtitle, but it was Great Ben. I don't know why you couldn't just call it Big Ben. Weird. But she's just super excited. She's gonna meet Annabelle. There's some sort of a release event that we're gonna hear about. But unfortunately, the girls took a tart, and you gotta make sure that you know it's a tart. And as a result,
because it's more expensive,
very important for the school, as we find out yet again.
And we get a name check for Professor Babcock, and we get another reference of financial hardships for the school. The girls were just upset that they were getting a lot of the same stuff, but as a result, they're punished. They have to come in Saturday and unload the truck, and then have a special tutoring session with Professor Ursula, to which Lotte freaks out. She's like, no, please, I'll do any. Ends up begging.
On her knees.
Please, look, she's sorry. We're all sorry. poor girl. Poor dear.
Her sweet baby angel.
And we find out afterwards that she's just gone comatose. She just had, she's.
It has broken her.
Poor girl. And that's where we find out that the newest edition of Nightfall is being released, volume 365!
Jeez.
We have main characters Belle and Edgar, who's a vampire, but her favorite character is Arthur, the werewolf.
Can I just say that this, you know, this parody, this Twilight stand-in, sounds a heck of a lot more interesting than actual Twilight?
It does! I would have much rather the book's gone off in that direction, like, with the, what was their,
it's
dancing?
It's only logical that it goes to space. It's the natural progression of his character.
Yes.
Well, it sounds
perfect
like...
perfect sense.
It sounds like they took Twilight and Beauty and the Beast... and just mashed them together.
They just took it further.
To space.
When you're 365 novels in, like, I don't know, you probably have jumped the shark a couple times.
Sounds like far more than a couple. But true, yeah, 365 volumes, and yeah, you're in space at that point.
Yeah.
There's nothing left on the planet.
There's nothing
planet
left for
Earth.
You to do once you go to space.
One of the interesting things about this whole... well, first of all, her name's Annabelle Grimm, ha. But also, we got another year check of 120 years.
Yes.
That time period. Something happened 120 years ago to either start, like, a magical revolution or end a magical revolution. And we're dealing with the... It's like, oh, that'll never come back. And it's happening again. Mm-hmm. So, Akko ends up getting an idea. They unload the potato truck and sneak out of their lesson from Professor Ursula.
That poor
and,
lady.
Because good ideas.
Well, no, Akko has a great idea. Lotte is going down a dark road because she's like, sometimes you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. Like, yo! Yo!
Sacrifices.
Yeah, she jumps on board with, like, an enthusiasm that,
If I have to kill somebody, I'll kill somebody.
It's just collateral damage standing between me and Annabelle.
I guess we got terrifying Susie in the last episode, so now we've got lots.
We're coming to find that all three of these girls are terrifying in their own way.
Yeah,
when they set their sights on something that they want or something that they perceive that they need, do not stand in their way.
Yeah,
you will be crushed.
And I liked when we arrive in town. We get to see essentially Nightfall Con, where the entire city was taken over. There's people in costumes, and she's connected, like, oh my god, are you actually the Big Ben from this thing? And this part's like, nobody's got my costume yet. And just pure anarchy. And one of the interesting differences that we found in the... We had the English subtitles on, but we were listening to it in English, and stuff didn't sync up. There were certain things that were being said that wasn't a part of... And don't worry, the clip isn't now. But it was one of those things that... I only did that because we watched it on that TV. But when Lotte starts talking about how the Nightfall books became so important in her life, she talks about how her family ran a small magic shop and people made fun of her for being a witch. And she found this wonderful, magical world that she could escape into. And she said, oh, I just liked the stories and the romance that was coming in. But the subtitle said it helped her feel better because she understood the bullying that Arthur was receiving being a vampire. Mm-hmm. And I think that's much more important of a message to have than just, the romance.
I buried myself in my escape And it made me feel better because it made me forget. No, there's definitely something to be said about, like, a lesson in empathy as opposed, and understanding your own hurt in that way, as opposed to just, and then I forgot about it because I buried myself in this book that was a fantasy escape.
Like, that's one of the things that is going to make me go back to the Japanese version is, like, that gave us more of a character note. It was less of just like, oh, this is a funny, silly thing that we're doing, but it's... And, no, Lotte was legitimately distressed.
What's interesting about that particular localization choice is that this wasn't an issue with lip-syncing either. This was a straight VO. They could have said anything, and that's kind of what they went with. And it's not that it's bad, because, like, again, these books still helped her through a very difficult time in her life, but one is definitely... The implications of both are very different.
We get, well, Hannah and Barbara are like, this place sucks. Barbara's like, yeah.
It's awful.
Why don't we get closer to the event and make fun of these people? Like, why don't we get in line?
It'd be, I don't know, like, it'd be fun to, like, just... watch all these guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
these nerds
just like inner crying. Well, actually that goes to asking, have you ever hung out with a friend that has done that? That has, like, you're about to be like, "Hey, I'm a fan of this." And they go, "Ugh. This stuff sucks."
I've never been with somebody who's done that, but I've definitely been that person. When I was a kid, I actually wasn't a huge person in terms of actually expressing that I liked anime. So I'd go over to my friend's house to watch Sailor Moon, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm watching it because you're watching it. Like, whatever. It's not like I like it. and then like, cut to me, like, hiding behind a pillow during Promise of the Rose, like, crying at the end. Like, they're like, "You okay, Megan?" Yeah, this movie's so weird. Like, whatever. It's fine.
I don't get it.
Weeping.
How about you, Stace?
Oh, yeah. No. And a lot of it had to do with anime, too, actually. Like, it took a while for me to truly embrace that I really enjoy anime. Mm-hmm. So anytime someone would be like, "Oh, yeah, that stuff's so strange," I'd be like, "Yeah. Well, I don't know who watches that.
Who does that?
Me. All the time."
But at this point, it's just like, "Yeah, so am I. Get over it."
So it's like, "Actually, let me tell you a thing about that.
Oh my god, it's the best. Like, let's sit down. We're going to watch this.
Do you like ballroom dancing?
You've opened this can of worms.
Then do I have a show for you." Yeah. There's an anime for everybody.
Do you like ice skating? No, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Do you like delicious looking food? I mean, we're still talking about the same thing. Pork cutlet bowls. Ooh. Person or food. Anyway.
So good.
We get introduced to Annabelle, who doesn't look like she wants to be there whatsoever.
Did anybody else, like, have, like, a genuine moment of, like, fear when the pen got passed over? And she's like, "I'm not the first Annabelle."
That one, yeah, like, it's just like, "What?" Yeah. No, we were introduced like, "No! What? Not Lotte."
You're Annabelle now.
Yeah.
Don't do it in the dark.
So Lotte ends up winning a trivia competition, which is a wonderful way of being like, "Hey, you know this story in and out. You're writing it."
Yeah, pretty well thought out plan, actually, all things considered.
Pretty smart. It's some sort of a curse. They don't go too far into it. But they end up looking for Annabelle.
And mushrooms.
So they end up getting into this conversation where Akko's like, "Yeah, it's your idol. You want to become just like her, right?" And she's like, "No, there's some things I'm not good at. It would kind of ruin the series for me. I know the things that I'm good at and the things that I'm not, and I would rather have somebody else do it so that I can enjoy it and sit back and enjoy it." It was a really pragmatic, nice, adult way of looking at it, and it made Akko think.
Yeah, because, like, obviously she idolizes Shining Chariot and she wants to be exactly like her. It's like, maybe being exactly like your idol isn't necessarily the best for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that they introduced the difference between idolizing someone as in wanting to copy everything and be that person and wanting to support them and watch them be successful.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing, and hopefully by the time we do get to the reveal, Akko is in a completely different space of not being like this fangirl, but going, like, maybe we just get, maybe we just get like a Last Unicorn-esque, where have you been? I know it was a really random poll, but it just came to mind.
But oh no, God. I mean, it's a very important step in terms of humanizing your idols, because like, again, Annabelle was put up on this pedestal, but by the end of the episode, they're conversing as friends and people who are passionate about the same sort of thing. And I also really liked the early setup of, like, don't read the comments. Because at one point, Lotte is looking through the comments, and she's like, oh, that's the internet for you, basically. And then we find out what an adverse effect that's having on the author. And how that really has gotten her to this point of, like, I don't even want to do this anymore because, like, I get nothing but negative feedback.
I don't blame them. Internet. It sucks.
Don't read the comments.
Or OwlNet. Whatever. Did anybody notice that, well, we got to find out that Lotte can converse with old spirits that inhabit magical items, which is an awesome power to have. Did anybody think that the spirit in the pen looked familiar?
I didn't notice if it did.
No.
No.
So it looked like an old man with a pipe. And if we're talking about writers, nobody was...
Gandalf!
No, J.R.R. Tolkien.
Aww.
So technically, yes. Yeah. But it just reminded me of Tolkien a little bit. Just and it's like, oh, it's a nice old man with, like, a hobbit-esque pipe.
I will say that her being like, oh, and by the way, I can talk to spirits and objects, and that just so happens to be really convenient for right now. I feel like that could have been set up a little bit better because it just felt like they pulled that power out of nowhere. But, like, I'm sure it's going to come back later on down the line, and this is the way they're establishing that. And
this was that introduction.
And it's hard for me to not say it. They introduced that in the OVAs. So it's like, oh, yeah, it's that of power. And they kind of teased it a little bit earlier on in her little skull lantern. There is her little flame friend that that is just her light in the darkness.
Aww.
That made it sound a lot more cute than it needed to be. I really liked how, I mean, we've been talking about the dub this entire time, but one of my favorite things about this particular dub is that Annabelle sounded so young. She sounded like a teenager, which was nuts to me. Like, you kind of tell that the regulars are voice actresses, but this sounds like they got a girl to voice.
Kid.
Yeah, a kid to voice. But they end up, Lotte is, she's the best friend. Talks about all of the story stuff that she introduced that she liked. She's like, oh, this one thing that I did. Yeah, it was awesome! And they just get a chance to ultimately connect over this franchise. And Annabelle goes back to, well, we don't even know her real name, but quote Annabelle ends up going back to writing with a refreshed look at the franchise, ends up going back to being the writer of Nightfall. With again, another beautiful spell in the sky that just sends everybody home happy.
Wouldn't that be, like, make things so much easier? Like, ah, I gotta write a script. Boom! Done.
If only.
Well, that explains why it was, like, there were 365 books.
Just write what's in your heart.
You
Boop.
Can put them out pretty regularly if you just...
Literally a book a day.
Wow.
The girls end up coming back to the school, and... They didn't make any sort of official note of it. It was just something that happened in the background. You see Professor Babcock coming out. Or it kind of looked like the principal a little bit too, but somebody name checked in the chat. It was Professor Babcock. That was Big Ben. That was Great Ben. It's just like, ah, this is the coolest. Awesome, awesome. And I hope that now, like in the future, there's a similar relationship that they have, like we were implying one with Lukic and Susie.
I love that she didn't just rat them out immediately. Like she's like, oh, you recognized my costume. Okay, I'll go along with this for a little while.
Well, hopefully it was something where it's like, you see here, like, coming out, like, girls, where have you been? And she, like, kicks the costume back. It's like, you know what? I'll let it go this one time. You know, something
just
like that.
This
go
once. Just this once. You do still need to make up your class with Professor Ursula, though.
Yeah. Ultimately, we find out a little bit more about Lotte didn't want to take the job because it ruined the ending. She wouldn't have a chance to enjoy
spoilers.
The book. Yeah, that's one of the things about working on some of your favorite stuff is, you get spoiled, but then it's also, well, now I'm helping create this fiction. Mm-hmm. Any writers out there? Any fan fiction writers out there? How did you feel about this episode? And even,
do you agree with her mindset, or do you feel it's more important to shape your story?
Or would you jump at the chance of, of getting an opportunity to write for one of your favorite shows, books, comics,
movies,
whatever. All right, so from there, let's go. We'll do the same thing we did last time. We're going to do predictions first. Thank you very much. All right.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
So for episodes 5 and 6, we are getting into the middle part of this. The middle part of the first part of the season. Because we still don't know how long the first season that's still airing in Japan is going to be, but Little Witch Academia on Netflix is 13 episodes. Right. So, Stacey, is there anything that you want to see or anything that we learned from these past two episodes that...
I mean, I feel like we haven't really been introduced to what the core plot is. We've gotten a couple little hints here, and we've got a couple of ideas of what we think might be going on. Mm-hmm. But we haven't really gotten the main obstacle, aside, you know, from learning magic, which, yeah, that's cool if that's what we're going to do, too. But if we're going to have, like, a through line, a plot that we're going to follow and a big problem, then I think it's about time to introduce
Get that started.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines of, like, this has all been character set up. We're being introduced to our ensemble cast and to the world and the surrounding town and kind of the mechanics of how magic in this world works. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a matter of time before we find out, you know, what the kind of obstacle... because I highly doubt this is just going to be, like... creature of the week sort of situation. I do feel like eventually it's going to build up into something, whether that's an evil wizard or if it's just the financial ruin of the school. There's going to be some obstacle that our girls have to overcome, and they're going to overcome it by coming together as friends
and being adorable while doing it.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we're going to get a through line, we're going to get it soon. But it seems like this could also be a slice of life type of thing, mm-hmm. where it's, who are our classes today? We still haven't encountered Professor Blub Blub and what she teaches. But just more. Like this, yep. I said it at the end of both of the episodes to Stacey while we were watching them in here. It's just such nice endings.
It's lovely.
It's never like happy ending and then it goes into a dark cave where someone's like, but I'm gonna get that little witch. You're like, no, we don't have that yet.
Although, mm-hmm. speaking of endings, did by any chance, I know one of our viewers during the last live stream said we should watch the very end of the third episode.
They said that just because it had a little bit more of an ending that related to episode 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a plot point. It was just like,
they tweak it every time. Okay.
And the ending is so beautiful.
It is.
The art style.
Gorgeous.
I would like to see them, well, I think it would be cool if they went into a dimension where the coloring was like that. And it would be, like, really weird and bizarre and magical, almost like an Inside Out sort of thing.
Ooh.
But, yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I absolutely love this world and I just want more in it. So let's go from there to a little bit of news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Anime Expo was over the weekend, and last episode we talked about the three new titles that Trigger is going to be working on, but it was announced that the Little Witch Academia Chamber of Time is going to be hitting the PS4 and Steam in North America in 2018. So unfortunately, it's not coming this year. It's coming out in Japan this year, but we do have a little bit of a trailer, so let's take a look at the gameplay. It very much retains the art style, and there's a little bit of audio. One of my favorite things is, even though I don't speak Japanese, it sounded like Akko was just super stoked, like, we have a game!
Oh! Yeah.
So
look at her!
It's 3D, but it's 2D. It's a 2D RPG where it looks like you're in teams of three. And as far as we can see from this trailer, it's just Lotte, Susie, and Akko. But I find it very hard to believe that throughout the course of either as DLC or throughout the course of the episode or the episodes, we're going to see all of the teams come together and mm-hmm. Akko's just circle of friends grow and grow and grow and grow. Who knows? I'm stoked.
It's so cool.
It looks pretty.
It's so lovely. That's all I've got. I want it.
It's nice. Yzman in the chat asks, is Diana playable? We don't know yet. I presume so.
Maybe?
Maybe a little bit too OP. Yeah. And also says, Yzman reiterates, make sure to check out the endings because they tweak them every now and again.
Aww.
Okay, let me see if there's anybody else. Apparently Studio Trigger is already hinting at another season of Little Witch Academia. And it actually ended. Okay, on the 25th of June was when Little Witch Academia's season 1 ended in Japan, and it was a total of 25 episodes.
Okay.
Thank you so much. So that means they definitely split it in... It's
about half.
It completely makes sense that they're already gearing up for season 2. This has been an anime that people have been highly anticipating for as Mark pointed out, for years now. So... I am not surprised at all that they're like, you want a season 1? Here you go. You want a season 2? Yeah, we're working on it. Done.
And especially noting its presence at Anime Expo, both with people excited about it. I know there's a couple of new figures that are debuting, too.
Really?
They've got a couple of lines. Over Good Smile had a couple of previews, and they had little acrylic stands for sale at the con.
Do they have the... What's the cute ones that...
That's what they're developing.
Okay.
Never say it right.
The
Nandroids.
Oh, Nandroids. Okay, yeah. Okay, but this is a little interesting that the same studio that got us Kill la Kill, which ended so kind of ambiguously, but there's gonna be more. I think the world has taken to Little Witch Academia so strongly that rush it out, and I'm sure Netflix is also like. Budget, sure, here.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that we're getting to a point where it is American studios funding Japanese products to go around the world. It's really cool.
Yeah.
The world's getting smaller. Alright, that's it for news and gossip. There was another piece of not just general anime news that I was freaking out about, but I'll just say it and be done with it. We're getting 2 more seasons of Fooly Cooly.
I saw that.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yes.
What? Crazy!
That was... Fooly Cooly was the first anime, like, sort of as a... I would say as a teen, preteen sort of a thing that made me go, oh, it's not just for kids. It's something that I could probably enjoy moving on. I saw episode 6 first, which confused the hell out of me.
Yeah, that
but
good.
Watching the other ones doesn't help.
No, fair. It's not any
this
better.
Is fair.
Just like, why is there... This kid has a bump. There's a pulling a guitar out of... I don't... What's happening?
It makes so little sense,
never know.
But it's so good.
Why did it turn into a manga? Why did they say that it turned into a manga? It's just so many things. Trigger announced... I love chat, and I love having live chat because they give us new information. Apparently, thanks to Miraculous Corazon in the chat, mentioning that Trigger did announce that there is a new OVA coming out this November.
Oh.
So hopefully... Before then, we'll get the second part of season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, especially now that it's ended being aired, we can get all of that dubbed.
Right.
But yeah, awesome. And apparently, according to number 4 in the chat, this is just their name, number 4, the main trio, Latte, Susie, and Akko, will have Nendoroids.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yay!
Either way, this has been absolutely amazing. I'm so happy that we finally have a chance to do the show. I've been wanting to do the show ever since it was announced, and I'm happy to have two wonderful people doing the show with me.
Thank you
so much for joining us. Now, before we go, if you could... never mind. Sorry, I thought it was a confirmation. Somebody said, I hope it's a Christmas OVA, and I thought it said, it's a Christmas OVA. And I was like, that's what I want!
we only hope.
Yeah,
Christmas or Halloween, I'd be okay Halloween with either or both.
Halloween would be real good.
Susie at Halloween.
Yeah.
Dangerous. All right. Before we go, Megan, tell the folks where they can find you and what's coming up next.
Hey, guys. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV, including the Attack on Titan special, which is right after this, guys, where we're talking to Bryce Papenbrook and Trina Nishimura. So, yes, stay tuned for that.
Stacey Shuttleworth.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles or all over the web at Nerds Doing Stuff. Getting ready for Comic-Con. That's pretty much consuming my life right now.
And getting ready for RTX, yeah. which is this week. Oh, yes. We're all going to be going. We're going to... There's so,
so much to do.
So much to do. So much to see. And now that's stuck in your head. But we're going to be heading down to Austin. It's going to be a good time. Make sure to follow all of us. Follow us at ABTV Rooster Team to find out all of the stuff that we're going to be doing throughout the weekend. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Make sure to leave us iTunes reviews because we want to do more anime here. It's just being able to have the time and making sure that you'll watch it. Share the show with your friends. But thank you so much for watching this episode of Little Witch Academia After Show, and we will see you at Lunanova.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.